invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. God, your word and your wisdom is a gift. May we listen for it in the midst of my words. May we use it wisely and well. Amen. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the phrase and the feeling of having butterflies in your stomach. We usually use those words to describe that sort of fluttering feeling we get when we are filled with excitement and anticipation and longing. In my family, we have another phrase too, for when that excitement and longing looks a bit more like dread and fear. And when those butterflies feel, well, less than fun and fluttery, and more like you've swallowed a brick. In that case, we say, I've got ferrets in my stomach. I'm sure if you've ever seen a ferret in action and then imagine one being inside your stomach, you can grasp the feeling. Okay, so why all the butterfly and ferret talk? Well, on this first Sunday of a new and much anticipated year, I'm sensing that many of us are finding ourselves with both. Butterflies of excitement and hope as we anticipate brighter days ahead, and the ferrets of fear and worry as a harsh reality continues to set in and as things, quite frankly, aren't getting any better. Both feelings are real, both are valid, and both are very much reflected in our gospel reading today from the book of Matthew. We're jumping ahead ever so slightly to experience something that more often than not doesn't happen on a Sunday. In fact, this year it doesn't. This Wednesday, January 6th, marks the day of Epiphany. And Epiphany isn't something I wanted to skip over, and in fact, we're honoring it today and then with communion next Sunday. But I did want to make sure that we shed a little light on it today, too. No Bethlehem Star pun intended. The way I see it, this story is filled with butterflies and ferrets, the same ones we're feeling. Or maybe a better way to put it is that this story of Epiphany is one that tells of both anticipation and dread, longing and fear. We often use the word epiphany to refer to an aha moment, when something is finally made clear to us, or at last we grasp it or get it. In the biblical sense, epiphany refers to something made manifest or revealed. Today, the word epiphany communicates to us the showing forth or the revelation of Christ in the world. Epiphany takes its themes from the journey of a group of magi, which we just heard about, the wise men, who left familiar territory to find the Christ child and to explore and see for themselves if he was the one who was promised. The entire Advent and Christmas season is very much about the hope, love, joy, and peace that we have come to be so familiar with these past several weeks. But Epiphany reminds us that the story doesn't end there. There is more to the story than just three happy wise men and their camels taking a road trip of sorts to give gifts to a newborn baby. As Barbara Brown Taylor reflects, today's reading from Matthew offers a rare opportunity to rescue the Magi from their fixed places in the annual Christmas pageant and restore them to their biblical roles as key witnesses to both the threat and promise of the Christ child. The threat and the promise that comes with God entering into the world. The threat and the promise that comes with the light of Christ being revealed to the world. See, butterflies and ferrets, promise and threat, longing and fear. These ideas are held in tension, and they really bookend our story from Matthew's gospel and the key characters within it. At the one end, you have the wise men from the east following the star. At the birth of Christ, they leave their own country, the familiar, the usual, that which they know, in search of and desiring something new and maybe even unknown. They don't know where this journey will take them, only that they have to go. It's as if there is a call on their lives that cannot be left unanswered. Who or what is calling is unknown, but I like to imagine that these three wise ones were feeling butterflies of longing and anticipation pulling them forward on their journey. At the other end is Herod, the bookend of fear. Herod, at the news of Christ's birth, I'm willing to bet, had ferrets in his stomach. He was frightened, Matthew tells us, and all Jerusalem with him. At the birth of this child, he is filled with dread, threatened by the possibility of a new king. His power and identity are at risk of being lost. As opposed to the wise ones who answer their call with curiosity, Herod calls others to himself, chief priests and scribes, but he stays where he is, grasping and clinging to what is familiar and known and what keeps him in power. In other words, Herod reacts. The wise ones respond. And don't be mistaken, there are notable differences between those two, something I've been keenly aware of in these tumultuous times. Reacting is reflexive. It's short-sighted. It's based in emotion. It's fueled by defensiveness. It often comes from a place of woundedness, and it's almost always oriented toward the past. Responding, however, responding is informed, purpose-driven, motivated by curiosity and hope, and it is almost always oriented in the present or looking toward the future. The wise men and Herod have heard the same news of the same birth. The difference is the wise ones respond, which is why I affectionately refer to them as the first responders. They show up, open, present, and eager to give themselves fully to something unknown. Herod, on the other hand, reacts, mostly out of fear and jealousy and greed. He remains closed off. He doesn't show up. He shuts down, determined to get rid of the threat before it becomes truly threatening. The wise men follow their longing. Herod wallows in his fear. Both, however, were Epiphany. I mentioned earlier that it was important to shed light on Epiphany, but really, I think it's even more important to be reminded that Epiphany is the one shedding the light. Epiphany isn't just for the ones who get it, the ones who see the light and follow the star. Epiphany is also for the times we remain in the dark. We don't have to react in an extreme or violent or vengeful way like Herod to still feel the ferrets of fear at the thought of Epiphany. At the thought of leaning into something new that is waiting to be revealed to us. Christ's birth, if we're paying attention, does change everything. And it makes sense, especially given the year we've had, to feel a bit of dread at the thought of embarking on another journey of change, of even more being revealed and uncovered. There is a threat and a promise that comes with the light of Christ being revealed to the world. Because the truth is, it may reveal some stuff we aren't thrilled about seeing, or acknowledging, or owning, or cleaning up, or moving beyond. But that same light, the light that threatens to expose us, also promises to heal us, to reveal us, to illuminate the longing we hold for one who redeems and renews, and to lead us onward into the hopeful unknown of tomorrow. The birth of the newborn king, the light of the Christ child, has the power to reveal both the good and the bad, the order and the mess, the reactor and the responder in each of us, the fear and the longing. Before we welcomed the Christ child into the manger and into the world a little over a week ago, This whole year was an epiphany of sorts, one in which so much was revealed, unearthed, uncovered, and made manifest. And now, as we step into a new year, into a new season of epiphany, into a new journey of unknowns, we are offered the same choice as the wise ones and Herod. Will we react or will we respond? Will we react with good reason out of defensiveness and pain? Will we orient ourselves toward the past and allow the challenge and heartbreak of 2020, which wounded us so, to extinguish the hope that is waiting? Or will we draw inspiration from these first responders? Will we too be wise ones who, with great purpose and curiosity and hope, follow the light and the longing within our hearts for what Christ has to offer? My prayer is not that we shame ourselves for feeling fear or reacting out of the woundedness of our past, but rather that the light of Christ, the light of hope, the light of this new day, shines so brightly ahead of us that we can do nothing but respond and follow the longing of our hearts. May it be so. Amen.